A BetterHelp ad. Lewis Capaldi partnered with BetterHelp to get word out about how important therapy can be.
Or I struggle most weeks to like get myself up and ready and go to therapy or, you know, whatever. Like even like to open the laptop to talk to my therapist sometimes can be really difficult. But I do it because I realise how important it is for me to continue to feel good. Because like, I felt the best I've felt in a long time through therapy.
Learn more about online therapy at betterhelp.com.
Hi, my name is Wendy M. Koch, and I'm the author of A Grey Resort, and you're listening to Ghosts in the Valley with Al Cooley.
Okay, today on the show I have Wendy M. Koch. This is her fourth time back. I enjoy every time she's on the show. And each time it's like she has a new book come out. I mean, this lady here, man, she's active.
I am. That's one word.
She's an award-winning author, a mother of two sets of twins, a veteran podcast host of a Juicy Pair podcast.
I don't know. I got a screw loose or something. Something must be wrong with me.
I mean, one set of twins is like, wow. You know, two sets of twins, whoo.
I know. I'm just that crazy. You know, the problem was is I wanted that third kid.
Well, you got a bonus, you know?
I did. Two for the price of one, twice.
Well, I want to welcome back to the show. And
thank you.
2021, I see your debut book, or 2022?
No, 2019 was A Grey Resort. And by the way, thank you so much for having me on the show. I always have a blast when I'm here with you, Al. So thank you.
Grey Resort, yep. I'm looking back at my past episodes, you know, and I'm like, wow, it's been, what, 4 or 5 years? So 2019. Yeah. I'm thinking... A Grey Resort was such to me like a gemstone. You know, it's like
and
to go from the Grey Resort to now, like three books later. I mean, you're in the final book of the trilogy. Yep. Plus you've had another book out. You know, so we're gonna get on all that. But you know, before we get into your books, I want to talk about what's been happening since last time you've been on the show. You know, it's been a while.
And, it has.
You've been busy.
Oh my God! Yeah. I've been so busy that I haven't been able to, you know, I'm kind of stepping away a little bit with my podcast. I mean, I love podcasting. I'm not going to quit it altogether, but I couldn't do the one episode a week anymore. It got to be a lot. As you know, you've got a ton of downloads, but there's a lot of work that goes into it. You know, you're getting the guest, you know, you're having to find the guest, the market the guest, and then you edit the show. It's a lot to it, right?
Yeah, and being a single host, you know, and because sometimes you have another host, and you when you started you had another host, a co-host.
Yep. Yeah.
And it's sometimes it's easy that way because you can play off each other, or they might hit a different angle that you're hitting at.
Right.
When you're a single host, man, I mean, you got to cover all the.
You got to have it all. All cylinders got to be firing, right?
And you got to find the guest, you know, that's going to fit your show. And you know, you as well as I do that sometimes, you know, a guest will just flow, you know, it's
right,
like
right.
You know them forever, like you and me. I mean,
yeah,
I knew from the get go that you're, you know, you have a connection. I have a lot of those since starting out. So have you. But you know, then you have the other ones that,
all right. It's like pulling teeth to get info. It's like, why did you even come on the show? Do you know what you're, you know,
I even got pissed off one the other day and all I'm doing is I was going to be on the show, you know, I didn't want to be like, you know, you're the superstar, you know, and you want me to pay you $100 for 30 minutes. And I was like, well, I'm not doing that.
Okay. I'm so glad you brought this up. That is so off-putting because what's cool about podcasting, right, is you don't pay for services. You know, that's what makes podcasting cool. When you start charging or expecting money to be on a show, then I feel like it loses its edge, you know, and it's like everybody has a story and everybody, you know, is an expert, quote unquote. So it's like, it's so off-putting. I don't, it might work for some people. I don't like it.
I guess I'm just old school, you know, that you help somebody out and they're helping you out, you know, works both ways, you know.
It works both ways.
I'm helping you promote a book or podcast or whatever you're on, a TV show or whatever you're doing. And you're helping me by growing my audience, you know, so. And the little bit of money I make off of advertisements, you know, and it just pays enough to cover.
And
the
why would they expect? I just don't understand that. That I can't get wrap my head around that concept. Like, you know, I have to pay you to be on my show. I'm like, okay, they can go elsewhere because I'm not interested. I'm just like, whatever.
Well, I love your podcast, you know, and I'm glad you're going to be coming back because it's been a while since you've had it, and I understand that because you have. Kids graduated this year. You have a son that joined the military. He's in boot camp. You have,
He's, you know what?
Jumping out of airplanes.
He's graduating next week. And we're so excited. My husband and I are going to go down to Missouri. And he's at Fort Leonard.
I want to interrupt you. I want to thank you for your service. I want to thank you and your husband for your service.
Oh, you're
and
welcome.
Your son now, you know, because he's following in mom and dad's footsteps. Yep. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. We're so, well.
Gotta be proud, man. Gotta be a proud mom and proud father.
We're so excited to see him. I can't wait. And he's going to be combat medic. So we'll see him on family day and then graduation. And I think he very quickly flies out afterwards. So we'll see. But we're going to be down there for a few days next week. And I can't wait. I'm so excited. We've had a few calls from him now. And, you know, in basic, they don't let you call too much. But, you know, once in a while on a Sunday and we've had some kind of, you know, gut-wrenching calls there. It's, you know, basic is, it's not easy and it's hard to hear your, you know, your child go through that, but, he's over the hump now and, we're excited to see him.
I've been following on Facebook, you know, and, as all my guests, you know, I try to keep up with everybody.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. And, see what you're going on. You know, it's like, well, it's been, I think April since your last episode and I'm thinking, that's a little bit of a break, you know?
But
I understand. I totally do. I mean, there's so many of my friends, and so you probably know this too, in the podcasting world that have given it up, you know, and for one reason or other, and none of my business why they give it up, you know. But and I even thought about that myself this past year because I've so many.
You've had a lot of things going on too.
So many things going on. So many deaths in the family. It's like. Bam, 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 bam.
I'm so sorry. Yeah.
I mean, it hasn't been, 9 months, and I lost probably one of my best friends and my brother-in-law, my wife's sister's husband, you know, unexpectedly, you know. And then my aunt and uncle, who I bought my house off of, they died a day apart of each other. You know, she died on one day. He died the very next day.
Okay.
And then my best friend, who's in my book, you know, Joseph in my book, his ex-wife passed away. Unexpectedly, you know, and then my dad just passed away like a couple weeks ago, you know, so it's like,
enough of the death time, you know, to,
and
you
I'm
know,
trying to, move on to and trying to yeah. play in the band and,
How's that going with your band?
Oh, great, man. Well, yeah, we're called the Boomers, you know, so
some old
farts out there trying.
I wish I had lived closer. I'd come see you. Yeah.
Well, we got a gig coming up here in a couple of weeks, so we're kind of excited about that because we haven't played for like 5 years, and we got the
fun.
Yeah, you ever hear the thing? Let's get the band back together, you know?
Yeah.
And so, and this lady that we're at a winery, she's wanting to hire us, and she says, "So you guys aren't a bunch of young guys that's gonna bring this head banging gothic?" I said, "Well, I don't think so. youngest guy in our band's like 65. I mean, so
hey, that's cool. I think it's cool." You still got it. You guys still got it.
You have to do what you love to do. You know, you love to write. You love to. Yeah, you can't just sit idle. That's how I feel anyway.
Yeah, for sure.
Do something. I mean,
age is just a number. And I'm finding out as I get older, I'm doing a lot of the cool things that I wish I would have done when I was younger. But, you know, I wish I would have found it. But guess what? I found it anyway. It's just, I think it happens when it's supposed to happen. You know, like being an author. I remember being a little girl. I love to write. I wrote more poetry then, but I've had people say, man, you got quite the imagination. And you know, that all that stuff came so easily to me. The hard part was organizing it, having it make sense to others, sort of thing. And, you know, the nuance of the whole thing, though, you know, we can get all into that, the supernatural sixth sense. I've always been attuned to it and drawn to it and, you know, excited about it.
You always going to have the naysayers, no matter what you do. I mean, whether it's going to be a book you're writing or a program you're trying to produce. I mean, you're always going to have somebody there. You know that, yeah. Even on social media. Right. So it's going to be somebody there that's going to cause shit.
Oh,
And it doesn't matter. It's like, they have to start trouble. Well, I just kind of offended, like, to where you're entitled to your opinion. You don't have to agree with my thinking. You don't. And just like my guest on the show, I have you on the show because, like, most of them have been abducted or they've seen an alien or seen a ghost.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it didn't happen because I know what I went through.
Right. When they get triggered like that, I mean, everyone, of course, is entitled to their opinion. That's fine. And you can disagree. But to be adamantly, no, you're false, or no, this didn't happen to you. Like, don't tell me what I saw or what I experienced. That's not going to work out so well for you. You know, and then the delivery, too. I mean, it's almost like if they're that triggered by somebody's experience, then I don't know, maybe they've had one and they don't, maybe there's something that they can't, they don't want to confide in, or they don't want to, you know, they just ignoring it. I don't know.
Yeah. But I mean, people make the comment like, you know, maybe it was in your imagination. Maybe it was something. Sometimes I can agree with that. Sometimes you can overreact on a sound.
Yeah, for sure.
Or what's going on or what you see. I understand it completely, but I say, keep in mind, you know, I'm thinking of that as when I was 12 years old, when I seen what I seen, I'm thinking of that. I'm not thinking.
Right.
I'm thinking, well, this could be a car light going down the road. It could be a pipe banging. I'm thinking that. So I'm already ruling that out.
But you should tell people, Al, you've written a wonderful book too. What is the name of your book? It's a fantastic book. If y'all haven't got it, you got to go get it.
Spencer's Ghost, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I loved it. I thought it was wonderful, and I loved the nostalgic kind of little pieces in it too, which book kind of has it too. I liked that.
It does, you know, because you go back to time, you're going back to what you can remember as a child or growing up on your resort, on your first one, you know, so I'm same as mine. I'm thinking about my true adventures as a child growing up. And like my wife said, you know, this doesn't happen to two of these instances in your book doesn't happen to that many people to have all that happen. I said, keep in mind, I'm not one of these guys where a ghost has followed me my whole life. You know, where some people move in every house they moved into, they have a haunting experience.
Right, right.
Like my cousin, you know.
But he's had that happen, like wherever he goes?
Or she, yeah. Wherever she went, she's had, and she has it to this day. And it's traumatizing.
Something's following her. Yeah.
Right, right, right. To me, mine was like a one and done. So
yeah,
I have experiences in this house I'm living in now where we smell things like cigarette smoke.
Okay.
My wife and I don't smoke. So,
but somebody you're close with that passed away, did they smoke a lot?
Well, maybe the lady that lived that we bought this house off of, she was a four packer. So,
oh boy! Oh my!
So every now and then, it's not that you smell cigarette smoke. It's you. It's like somebody blowing it in your face.
Okay. Wow.
That's how prevalent it is. Right. And my wife says, like, "Well, I think you've done one too many podcasts." Well, then
you know,
it didn't happen to her. So,
right.
Then her name is Greta. So he says, "Okay, Greta, you can take it outside." Then it'll stop. But you know, as far as seeing something, no, not since 19. So we moved out of that house, you know. Now I'm writing book two now.
Yeah, you're writing book two to that, which I want to know what's going on with the guitar.
I'll let you know after the that again is I'm going back to what I know. Mm-hmm. Book two is going to be more on. It's going to be some stuff I left out of book one that actually happened, and then also going into who moved into the house after we moved out.
So oh, nice. There, and if they experienced, okay. And, you know,
so it's pretty interesting, you know. I might stop at book two. I'm not sure, you know.
Gosh, you know, when you're into it writing, you're going to probably say, why in the heck am I doing this again? Because it is so I don't know. For me, at least, it was very challenging. This third book that came out was very difficult. It took me years, and I've been writing for, it shouldn't have took so long, but you know, I did have other things going on. But I think one of the things that it took so long is I had a lot of cool stuff, right, that was coming into play as I was writing the book, like, oh, I'm going to add this, I'm going to add this. And now to try to organize it all, I knew it was going to be the last book in the series. I also wanted to make the book a standalone book. So if you didn't read the first two, you wouldn't necessarily have to. I mean, I would love it if people did, but you know, that they could just pick it up and kind of, you know, take off from there. You know, I wanted the book to land well. I wanted it to be interesting, of course, you know, so everyone will want to turn the page. And I feel like I've done that. And I'm excited for the reviews to come in. I'm just excited about it, period. I, you know, like I said, I spent a lot of time on it, and it comes from my heart. It's through the Northwoods and romance, elements of paranormal. There's some character development in there, some really cool characters. And I wanted to ask you too, I think one of the funnest things is taking somebody that you know, changing a few things, but having the nuance of it, of their personality and things, and have it kind of ring into your, you know, echo into your book. And that's what I did. And yeah, I can tell you my favorite character. It was just, it's very fun. That part is, that's the fun part of writing.
I think I know who your favorite character is.
Yeah. Who?
It keeps changing. The one with the red.
Cassie. Cassie. Yeah.
I'm thinking because you mentioned her a lot, but.
Oh, yeah.
Brooke. I like Brooke.
Yeah.
And the Traveler.
Yes.
And I'm trying to think back now because it's been a while.
Yeah. Before, no, right? I've got a couple different characters. That's another thing. I had so many that I had.
The grandmother. I love the grandmother. I kind of like, I don't know, I had a connection with the grandma, you know, because I think that she left and basically passed away and. After she moved,
oh,
right?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, I don't know how I was thinking back of my grandmother because she was such a big influence on my book, in my life.
Yeah. And that's so interesting that you say that because my grandmother, the one that passed away so many years ago from a tragic accident, but that's what kind of propelled A Gray Resort. And I feel like losing somebody at such a young age and such an important person in your life really sort of kind of rattles your inner core, right? And and that kind of is how A Gray Resort started. From the beginning, if people read it, you'll know. But I had such a close relationship. But it's interesting that you say that she kind of propelled and started the whole thing. I hope she's looking down and kind of smiling because it's kind of an ode to her. I was so close to her. I was about 8, somewhere around there. But and
now getting back to your, you know, the Gray Resort. I mean, that was. Yeah. I just love the book. I mean, from page one to the end. I'm serious. Yeah. I really did enjoy that book. You know, and I let my sister read it, my friend read it.
Aww.
And so when I got this, the second one, the Awakening, I'm going to say it's hard to count. You know what I'm saying? It's hard to match.
I know.
And I was the masterpiece. And I'm like this with all the books I read. It's like that first one is always like, bam.
Right.
But it took me a while. Now I really appreciate The Awakening after looking back on it and then reading. I read that one twice.
Wow. Okay.
Because I think maybe I'm missing something there.
Yeah.
You know, and then it hit me that it is a book on its own.
Yeah.
That you can.
It's a dense kind of book. There's a lot going on in it. And
I thought there was a lot of more characters. So I'm thinking that still you have to read book one to know who these characters are to get to book two.
Right.
But book two is a standalone. I mean, you could read all, like you said, all three maybe as a standalone.
Yeah.
But I've always been the type where if I know there's a 5-book series, I have to read book one first, you know.
Oh, for sure.
I hate reading book three, then figure out who the heck was John so and so.
Right.
Book one to find out. Well, you know.
Well,
but I really like that. I can't wait to The Choice. What's the Choice?
Yes, The Choice. Yeah.
I got on pre-order, so
fantastic.
I got the print, but now I'm starting to enjoy the ebook because I have a
Kindle. Nice.
You know. So
did you get the ebook?
I didn't get the ebook. I think I get the print.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm so excited for you to read it. It has taken so many different turns, and I'll have to say there's a couple of characters that, you know, I'm not going to say now, but I had to get rid of some.
Well, you know, that's another thing I was going to get to. You know, you get connected to these people, mm-hmm. like Brooke or, mm-hmm. and I'm reading another book. I can't say right now, but you know, it's, yeah. She asked me not to because she killed off a character, and I'm thinking, and I'm a big fan of hers. Well, she killed off. I was so upset, you know, because you know you get connected to these, like your book, you get connected to these people, and
yeah, they're like characters that are like talking to you in your head without sounding schizophrenic. But I mean, when I'm reading my book, or when I was writing it rather, I would have like the character, the traveler, for instance. When I wrote that character, he had a lot of the traits of one of my friends. And I'm like, oh, my God. It was like, you're the traveler. And I didn't even realize. And it was very cool. And then you start thinking about how you want the dialogue to go and what they would say and how they would act. And that's when it gets kind of cool. Because then as I was writing the book, these characters really were coming to life. Like Cassie, for instance, and Lyle.
Yeah.
So they're based on a couple that they were very, it was just really interesting because Cassie was so extremely extravagant and loud with her persona. You know, she was the kind of salt of the earth kind of person. You really loved her or you hated her. There was no middle ground with her.
Yeah. When I was reading about Cassie, I'm thinking about my wife's cousin who was very loud. And, you know, when she came in the room, that's, here comes Donna, you know.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Yeah.
So I'm thinking, I can relate to certain these characters, and plus it has been mean a lot to you because you're going back to your roots, at your resort where that your family. I mean, that's their living, man. That's their and it sounds to me like they put the red carpet out for because you want the guests coming back. You want the people coming back.
I feel sorry I didn't want to interrupt, but when I went up with my family, well, my sister and my girls, I took my girls up to where I grew up in northern Wisconsin, right? It's about 9 hours from where I'm at now. So we make the trip every year. And every time we go there, I absolutely love it. It's a slower pace. You know, it's just wonderful to go. And then I always take them to the resort. And this year, like last month, when we drove up there and saw the resort, you know, it's beautiful, still beautiful. The trees, they look like something out of the Jurassic era. They're huge, beautiful piece of property along the lake there. The cabins, most of the cabins have been redone, but there's just something. And, you know, my sister said too, and my mom, they're like, something is missing. I don't know what it is. It's maybe the energy of the time. The place is still big, but it just seemed a little smaller. There's something that has left there. I don't know. And I don't know how else to explain it. I mean, we walked out on the dock and I made some videos about this to promote the choice. And I think I'm going to put that on my website. But I'm like, this is where it all started, where Brooke was fishing. And it was kind of cool. But when we were just walking around the grounds, we just kind of like, something is missing. It's not the same. And, you know, what's interesting too is when my parents had the resort, there was just so much more community. It's not the same anymore. So like we had 8 cabins, 8 different families would come and stay if the resort was full. And my parents, like I said before, would have these wonderful parties. You know, they would get all the picnic tables together. They put them all together along the lake there. They'd ask everyone to bring a dish to pass, blah, blah, blah. You know, and by the end of the night, everyone was laughing and, you know, my dad got the guitar and it was just a great time. Now, you know, everything's, you know, you have a key code to get into the cabin. Everybody is separate. There's no community.
You don't have that family vibe. It's more professional.
I don't know. Yeah, it's just different. It's just
that's how your mom, how did your mom feel about that? Because, you know, that was her, she put that together with her husband, you know, and.
Well, for sure. She's like, you know, and I agree with this. The heyday of the resort is when my parents had it. I mean, I won't name the resort, but, you know, and it looks nice. But I think that it was in its heyday. They just, you know, I don't know. the way my dad kept the grounds and just the general energy and spirit of the resort was when they had it. It was just wonderful. And I'm glad I captured it in the book so I can kind of have a legacy for my kids and they can read it.
Yeah, Neillsville, right? In the book, yeah.
Neillsville in the book, but it's not, yeah, the town is actually a different name.
So it's still a resort?
It is. It is still a resort.
Eight cabins, or they add anything to it?
So we had two cabins on the resort that didn't have any plumbing. It was kind of used more like for fishermen that would come up or hunters. So, they tore those down. So there's like six cabins now. And my favorite one was always the one that was off to the side, cabin five. And it had like three bedrooms. It was nice. It's like it was kind of like a long kind of a ranch house. It was nice. That's my favorite cabin and it's, you know, it's still there. The pool isn't there anymore, but my parents took out the pool a while back. But yeah, I mean, it's, I don't know. And then they owned the woods across the street and it was way, I mean, we had a lot of acreage there and it went into this tree farm and mm-hmm. I get in about the tree, you know, the spooky tree farm, but now it's got houses all along there, you know,
yeah.
It's kind of sad, but what can you do? I told my sister, I said, we did it wrong. We should have found a way to buy this property or something. And she's like, I know. But, you know, we were teenagers when my parents sold it. So it wouldn't, yeah.
Yeah, I was wondering how the feeling was, you know, with your mom and your daughters probably thought it was pretty cool that you guys had your own resort.
They loved it, yeah.
You know,
I didn't realize it like back then how good I had it. But now, of course, I do. You know, living on water is just totally... You know, mm-hmm. It's just different, really interesting and fun. And we had boats. We'd always be boating or canoeing and just going off and, you know, being gone all day and coming back, going playing out in the woods all day long.
So to know. The listeners out there who don't really know about you or your books, in a nutshell, how to go from book one to three.
So I started with A Gray Resort. So when I first wrote the book, I thought it was just going to be one book. I didn't plan on making a series, but really it's A Gray Resort kind of captures an essence about the 70s and 80s. And a girl goes fishing one day and what she sees kind of scares her. She's got a little bit of a sixth sense. Her intuition is really high. And she kind of notices that there's a little strange things happening. I wanted to write a book about that and capture that. And she sees something that changes her life forever. So A Gray Resort, go and get it. It's available on Amazon and BookBaby and Barnes & Noble and other booksellers, I believe. But yeah, so I wanted to capture that. And after I finished that, I was going to be done because it just took so long. But then I got kind of a small following. I had some people say, hey, you know, we love the book. I couldn't put it down. Please continue on with the book. So during COVID, I wrote book two called An Awakening. Now, An Awakening kind of gets more into like the history of why she might have these powers, what's going on with these people, kind of more a little bit more in depth about why they're acting the way they are, like Mavis and Margie, they're twins. They're, you know, they're in their 30s or whatever. And they are, you know, one is kind of like a witch. And the other is, you know, they're just opposite of each other. So it kind of gets more into that. But it was fun to write. It was hard to write. But I wrote that during COVID. So I've had people say about that one that, man, that's a spiritual book. Those people, those characters are going through stuff. And I was going through some stuff with that. And I kind of, it went through into the book. And there's a lot going on in the book. Yeah, I'm proud of that one. But I wasn't ready to end the story. So the choice, oh goodness. There's so many interesting and fun things going on with it that I don't even know where to. So the choice is sort of, it kind of blends in the Northwoods, if you like Northwoods, romance, mystery, how somebody can take, so how one decision can just affect, you know, your life and how it ripples through everybody else's life. And I kind of captured that sort of essence still of the 70s and 80s. So if you like Stephen King, a little bit of Daniel Steele, but not cheesy Daniel Steele,
mm-hmm.
You'll like my book, The Choice. And it's in for a wild ride. So I'm very curious of what you're going to think about it. I'm excited about it.
I am too. I can't wait to get it. What's coming up for Wendy M. Koch?
Well, so I have a couple book signings. When I went over to Wisconsin, I was on the radio there and I had a really great book signing there. I sold out of all my books and it was really fun.
I've seen that. Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. It was at a really cool coffee shop there. I just love it there. And that was always a good time. And I'm working on some book signings here. I have to finalize those, but I'm excited about that. I'm always excited about book signings. I love meeting the people. I love the energy and getting people to read my books.
I love the book cover. I mean, I have to say it's totally mind-blowing. I love that color. Oh, yeah, that is sweet.
Thank you. You know, they've captured it. Book Baby, every time, you know, I just tell them exactly how I want the cover, the font, the colors. I give them a general description of what I would like, and they just hit it out of the park every time. Just like with your cover too. I mean,
oh yeah, you have to, they say you can't judge a book by cover. I don't know.
I think you can.
All three covers really are phenomenal, but the last one, I thought, you really did a good job on this one. You know, is it going to be the final one or?
I think it is. Yeah. I do have another book in me, but it's going to be something completely different.
Yeah. I was going to ask you that. It's going to be a standalone or another series.
So it's kind of, there's another character in here that is very interesting and it's going to be, without divulging too much, it's going to be a separate book, but this person is so different that I got to do a book on her. So yeah, I got another book into me, but as far as like a Grey Resort series, whatever, this will be the last one, but it's
spinoff of Grey Resort,
spinoff. I think it will be this next book coming up, but I'm not sure when. I mean, heck, I'm just promoting this one, so I'm not sure when that'll come out, but it's not the end. I'm going to still keep writing.
Well, hopefully someday I'll get to meet you, and then you can sign all three of my copies, you know.
Oh, I would love that. Yeah. Yes, I would love that. Yeah. It'll happen one day.
Yeah, yeah.
But this guy here, you see in the water.
Mm-hmm. Is that the traveler?
Nope. You'll know when you start.
Okay.
Yeah. He's a big part of why Neillsville is the way it is. So it kind of, I'll do just a little. So there's a nun at a church, and this is right in the beginning of the book. She's noticing some strange things that's going on in Neillsville. So she's writing a letter to some of the elders at another church, trying to figure out, hey, you know, there's birds crashing into the windows here. A couple of the people in town, their eyes are turning black or whatever. People are not the same. They're acting a little bit different. She's getting scared. So that's just how it starts. She's writing this letter, like, I need some help kind of thing. Yeah.
Awesome. Where can they go pick your books up at?
So you can go on Amazon right now and just put in my name, Wendy Koch, K-O-K, and all my books will come up. The choice is on pre-order right now. I would love, love anybody to go and pre-order it. I'm so excited about this book. I have high hopes for it. I really think it would be a great movie or series, just saying.
Mm-hmm. You never know.
You never know. You could also go on WendyMKochAuthor.net. All my books are available there. But, you know, Amazon, everyone knows Amazon, too. Just type in the choice and my name or just type my name. You'll be able to find me.
Well, Wendy, it's been.
It's always been so fun. It's always fun talking with you.
I'm sure
you'll
be back on because we have so much to talk about, you know.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
I can't wait to get your podcast back up and running and.
Yeah,
so you do have a fantastic podcast, Juicy Pear People.
Let's go out and check.
I'll put your links at the bottom of this episode to all three books and your podcast. And I wish you the best of luck. It's always a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you so much, Al. You as well. Have a good one.
Thank you, Wendy Koch. I'm going to put all of her links at the bottom of this episode. Please check out her books, A Grey Resort, An Awakening, and The Choice. I can tell you I've read two of them, and they're fantastic. The other one's on its way. On October 17th, on Facebook, at 10 a.m., I am going to do a live sit-down chat with Wendy M. Koch. Please mark your calendars for that. You can comment live with Wendy. That'll be a lot of fun. I'm your host, Al Cooley. I'll see you in 2 weeks with another great episode on Ghost in the Valley podcast.